The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the Commonwealth Games are on in Glasgow in 2026. If you're not into sport, the Commonwealth Games don't include a Team GB. All the constituent parts of the United Kingdom participate as standalone entities. So you've got an English team, a Scottish team, a Welsh team and a Northern Irish team. So Conall Heatley is the chief executive of the Commonwealth Games Northern Ireland, and he was speaking to Sean Moncrief on this station a little bit earlier this week. And this is what he had to say about proposals for a new Northern Ireland flag.
We're trying to look across, and as part of the growth of Northern Ireland as a confident, forward-looking place, I think it makes perfect sense to have something that reflects everybody in the community.
Yeah.
And it probably harks back. The Northern Ireland executive themselves back in 2016 commissioned a report looking at flags, identity, culture and tradition. And that report, which cost 800,000 sterling, it does contain a line in it that references a civic flag that would represent community and society. And we think that's a great idea. The problem is that there has been no action taken on that. Now, the report, I believe, was passed back to the Executive Office in the Northern Ireland Assembly in 2019. So we're now sort of 5 years down the line and nothing's been done. So really we're appealing to politicians to say, could you please sort of reference the report that you yourself commissioned, and could you come up was something that represents everybody in Northern Ireland.
That was Conall Heatley, the chief executive of Commonwealth Games Northern Ireland, speaking to Sean Moncrief earlier this week. For people at home who maybe aren't aware, the Union Jack is actually the official flag of Northern Ireland. Now, the flag we most associate with it, the one you're probably imagining, is the Ulster banner, and it's a red cross. People say St. George's cross. It's actually not. It's the Burke cross. Anyway, it's a whole separate issue. But it's a red cross, the red hand on top of it, six-pointed star and a little crown over it. So that's the Ulster banner. It's the one we think of. It's actually the Union Jack officially. So I think that's all the context we need for this discussion, because with me is Ben Lowry, editor of the Belfast Newsletter, and Claire Hanna, an MP for Belfast South and Mid Down. Claire, do you think the North needs a new flag?
Well, look, I think it's fair to say this could barely be more cliche, Northerners on the radio to have a row about flags. And I think it is also fair to say that this isn't the number one issue for most people here and consuming us. But I think Conall Heatley, as he set out on your clip there, is making a fair point. They're trying to have a discussion about finding something that reflects and represents the identity of all of those who compete. And it's important we don't lose sight of that. This is about young athletes, all backgrounds, union internationals, and neither. You know, probably a lot of them that just don't give a stuff about politics, but they're at the top of their game, competing together on a team. So the ideal and the aim of having something that they can all feel proud of and something that they can all share, I think is a very good one. It is fair to say that the Ulster banner, and you just described it, has no official status in Northern Ireland. I understand it was the flag of the old Stormont Parliament, and when it dissolved decades ago, it doesn't actually, it's just been used by tradition. But it isn't something that a lot of people have any attachment to. Many of us, myself, the only time really I see it is flying in tatters from a lamppost, you know, when it's been put up maybe around a march. So I think this is a good aim, and he's right to say that the executive parties commissioned this FICT report, which is a lot of good stuff on it, but it's been sitting on a shelf for years.
What flag would you pick?
Well, this is the point. They want it to be co-designed. It isn't about me picking a flag.
Well, what would you include on it then?
Well, look, we've done, and again, it's not about me going, well, I think we should draw it this way. We have, for example, with the police service, for the Northern Ireland Assembly itself, for different councils, we have designed flags that have representations of different, perhaps the different counties within Northern Ireland, or things that could even reflecting the logo of the Commonwealth NI team. There's lots of, I'm not the artist here, and neither am I one of the very talented young people who's going to have this around their shoulders at the top of their career. So it isn't about me picking one, but I think it's about the principle of that reflecting everybody. I think it's to Conall Heatley's decision. You're probably going to hear about that. There's a perception for some that, you know, oh, you know, we shouldn't have to accommodate all these different people in Northern Ireland. The point is, these young people are the population of Northern Ireland. It's their region as much as anybody else's to represent. So, of course, they should feel comfortable with the symbolism of it.
And Ben, would you like to rally around a new flag in time for the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow in 2026?
Can I just answer that in the following way? There's a really important context to this that many of your listeners won't understand, and it's something that I do edit a unionist newspaper, so I'm trying to give you a unionist perspective. There is a constant battle, particularly by Sinn Féin, led by Sinn Féin, to deny the existence of Northern Ireland. As a random example, just the other day, Sinn Féin, Conor Murphy, one of the Stormont ministers, put out a statement about a business coming in, and he referred to the North of Ireland. They won't utter the name of Northern Ireland that was recognised in 1998. And remember, unionists are always scolded about not living supposedly up to the Belfast Agreement. We weren't allowed a centenary in Northern Ireland in 2021. We just weren't allowed it. Michael D. Higgins, your president, wouldn't come up to a service that didn't even celebrate Northern Ireland. It was so apologetic. Nobody in the service barely even uttered the words Northern Ireland, and so on. And this is recently in the Olympics at the newsletter. We tried to be positive about the Northern Ireland athletes. They had the best ever haul. In fact, proportionately disproportionate. Ireland did very well. The UK GB did very well, but in Northern Ireland, proportionate to our population, we did outstandingly well, our best ever. And there was an attempt to deny that this had happened. A lot of our readers didn't like to see some of the Northern Irish athletes competing for the Republic flying into Dublin under the Tricolour, but we bottled that. And we tried to be positive about the whole thing. And it was denied because there's this movement to try to deny Northern Ireland. And this, I'm afraid to say, the difficulty of getting a shared, changed flag, this is an attempt once again to undermine the existence of Northern Ireland, talk about a flag that will have to be agreed by Sinn Féin. And once Sinn Féin are involved, there'll be symbolism that is unacceptable. So what I would say is the best thing that we have is the Ulster banner. It's not perfect. We have had Northern Ireland players draping themselves in it. Enjoy. Yes, it flies sometimes from lampposts, but you can't talk about the negative representations of the Ulster banner in the same way that you can't talk about the negative representations of the Tricolour flying from lampposts in places, the Tricolour being used by terrorists. You don't allow your flag to be appropriated by the worst elements, and we don't allow this flag to be appropriated. And another random example of somebody who draped himself in it proudly, Rory McIlroy, golfer, as it happens, Catholic background from part of Northern Ireland that I'm myself from North Down, a man who's talked about his British identity and his Irish identity. That's what this is about. It's another attempt to undermine the existence of Northern Ireland.
On that point, though, Ben, would a new flag, like in the ideal scenario, not deal with some of that? It would allow kind of communities to coalesce around a shared Northern Irish identity.
I think the problem with the new flag is getting agreement on the new flag. Obviously, somebody who's moderate and reasonable, like Claire Hannah, could have a discussion about it. But Sinn Féin, I think, will be more difficult on it. I think, for example, the Cross of St. Patrick, which is never rarely used on its own, would be a very good flag for Northern Ireland. I'm saying that there are other things. I'm saying also that when you open this conversation with people who never stop in their attempt to undermine the Belfast Agreement that they themselves cite in 1998, that recognised this entity, Northern Ireland, it becomes almost impossible.
What Newton Emerson in the Irish Times suggests that the symbols of the Northern Ireland executive at Stormont, the flax plant on a kind of a light blue background. It's fairly anodyne. I'm not sure if it kind of stirs the passions. That's the issue to a degree. Is it, Claire? Anything that everyone will agree to is kind of going to be boring.
Yeah, look, I'm one of those people, if I never saw another flag as long as I lived, I'd probably be fairly happy. And I do understand the sense of, you know, all of the change all of the time, for what it's worth. I'm somebody who uses the phrase Northern Ireland all the time. I fully accept the principle of consent. Indeed, I travel every week and I sit in the UK Parliament because I'm a grown up. And I acknowledge that things aren't always exactly the way I like them, but it is contested. And I and hundreds of thousands of other people identify as Irish. But Northern Ireland is our home. We live here. We build it. We work it. We pay our taxes like everybody else. And it is, as I say, it's not a case of, you know, this belongs to people of a British identity and the rest of us just have to kind of meekly fit in around them. The point is, these young athletes, in all of their difference and diversity, are the population of Northern Ireland. So it isn't about, it isn't, I suppose, it's just the sense that sharing doesn't always mean losing. And I do get where Ben is coming from. And I, yeah, absolutely, symbols and change are weaponized a lot by people and they become very, very contentious. And you're right, there's also a danger that we, you know, the lowest common denominator can be very, very bland. He is right to say there's lots of people blending their Irish and their British identity, and long may that continue. And the Olympics was a really positive thing here because we got double the haul. There was a beautiful event in Belfast of athletes who had competed for Team GB and athletes who had competed for Team Ireland. And they all came out together on the stage together, mixed in with their medals. And there's no way, I'm sure, any other region of, you know, 1.8, 1.9 million people had so many Olympians winning. And it was a really positive event. And it's not something, I don't get the sense at all that those young people are trying to weaponize or be subversive or difficult. They just want, on the biggest moment of their life, they just want it to feel meaningful and shared for them. They don't want to have, and you see, brilliant athletes. And it just, I don't know, in the same way as Ben would feel if he was, I don't know, a cracker rugby player. Perhaps he was at some point in his life. You know, he wouldn't maybe necessarily feel comfortable, which is why the Ireland rugby team have adopted Ireland's call. And we may have our opinions on the musical merits of that particular song, but the purpose of it is about something that even players maybe from Ulster who don't have an affinity with the Irish national anthem, which, by the way, I'm not a big fan of either, but that they can feel comfortable lining out as a team.
Ben, I mean, apology. You might still be a cracker rugby player for all we know. So, I mean, if you are, I mean, my sincere apologies. But
I once played rugby a very long time ago, like 40 years. But anyway,
how would you convince, Ben, a portion of the community who don't feel any identity reflected in the Ulster banner to rally around it?
I think that is a good question. But what I would say is this. We are always accommodating people who aren't comfortable in Northern Ireland. Look what happens with some of our wonderful players from Northern Ireland. Some of them choose to play for the Republic. There's nothing we can do about that. That's the system that we have. But do you know what happens?
They don't want to play for the Republic. They're Northern Irish. They're and you should be. It's just something to celebrate that we have a shared identity.
There's so many things to talk about here. But one of the things that I imagine we're running out of time, one of the points that I would like to make associated to my first point, unionists and people who defend Northern Ireland and so on, we are always being put onto the back foot. We are always being, in a way that in the Republic you're not, we are always being made to feel unreasonable. And let me just give you two examples of aspects to this debate that aren't even raised. The first example is this. You're not in the Commonwealth because you won't tolerate anything to do with British. The Commonwealth is a friendly association of nations. You have a right not to be in it. There are other countries like India and so on, and African countries that suffered codified racial discrimination, which Ireland didn't suffer. It was a fully integrated part of the UK with full representation at Westminster. You have a right in the Republic not only to stay out of this friendly association, such as your long-standing resentment of Britain, and that's what it is. But polling shows that even if you get a chance of an All-Ireland, you won't change your flag to accommodate us in the North. Polling shows that you still won't join the Commonwealth. So that's one element that we never hear about this. And there are lots of other elements as well that we don't hear about. The pressure that is put on unionists always to have to reform things, and often driven by people who want to reform it into nothingness.
Can I go back to Claire on that?
There was another example. So the other example, I did say that I was going to give two examples. The other example was this, Ireland's Call, Claire mentions. Well, Ireland's Call, the agreement is that it's played, and in the country where the game is being played, the national anthem is played, given that that is almost in a home game, always Dublin, it is the Irish national anthem with Ireland's Call. Guess what happened? The one time the Ireland team, and I remember when I was growing up seeing Ireland win the Triple Crown in Lansdowne Road in 1982 when I was 10, and the joy of that. Guess what happened the one time a decade or so when Ireland played in Belfast when you were building your new stadium? The national anthem was not played. And that's what always happens. The reciprocal side to the deal doesn't happen, and because there's no pressure on you in the way there's always pressure on unionists who are always being made to apologise, and already we have unionists who are probably apologising over this and ready to roll over on the flag. It's always one way. Always one way.
Yeah. You can imagine the text coming in, but I do want to go back to Claire on one point Ben raises. Claire, in the event of a united Ireland, I mean, he's right. I mean, the polling would suggest people have no appetite en masse for changing the flag of the 26 counties. Like, I happen to think that tricolour is kind of poxy. And if anybody suggested it today, if Ireland was kind of being birthed into the world, nobody would go for it. But anyway, that's kind of a separate issue.
Well, look, Ben is absolutely right. And there should and there will need to be challenging conversations. And there's no point in shying away from it. And I think we need to be really open and honest, those of us who are advocating and building towards a reconciled New Ireland. There are going to have to be genuine changes to accommodate people of a British identity, and which is why I think it's useful to show that people can change and adapt, which I'm not necessarily hearing from Ben. And the tricolour people may say that, in fact, it is, you know, green, orange, the great traditions of the Ireland.
Go away. White, it's so trite. It's an awful flag.
But by the way, I just want to be very clear. I'm 100% up for those conversations, and indeed the conversations about joining the Commonwealth, if that would genuinely be meaningful to people. I've yet to meet a unionist that I'd like you to join the Commonwealth. The anthem, put it in the bin. All that, is that blood and gore about the old enemy? Is that really who we are as a people? I think Ireland has demonstrated an incredible ability to change and adapt and diversify and become modern over the last decades with, for example, people of all different parts of the world arriving here, social change from the ground up. I think people will be able to have this conversation. And you know what? Ben's right. For every person on the internet going mad about the prospect of changing the banner, there will be somebody on the other side saying, I'll never change the tricolour, and they're both wrong. They're both wrong. We should be able to change and accommodate different identities.
I used to plump for the presidential seal, the presidential flag here, which is a golden harp and a dark blue background, until the texter one day pointed out it had looked like the country was sponsored by Ryanair. So we might park my suggestions. Ben, Claire, good to talk to you both. Ben Lowry is the editor of the Belfast Newsletter, and Claire Hanna is an MP for Belfast South and Mid Down.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.